Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. All right, this is episode 2 of my series, Single on Purpose. Single on Purpose. Book readings, commentary, and I'm going to slip in some revelations. I'll start with one revelation right now, and it's one I just had in the sauna as I was sitting there. My most recent life revelation is you don't have to have it figured out. If you have a very strong left brain, if you grew up oldest sibling position, if you grew up having to take care of people at a very young age, you might have programmed yourself to put things in boxes, to file things away, to cross the T's, dot the I's, be responsible. And sometimes that means that you have to have things figured out. And if that's the momentum of your wiring, it's going to bleed into all areas of your life. And the truth is, we can't figure everything out. I mean, love and relationships. Can you figure that out? Career, a lot of things that are happening that you can't see, you know? I don't think life is meant to be figured out. So when people say, okay, I just need to figure this out, I feel like there's some wasted energy, right? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't regroup or evaluate or take a black light to things and learn about ourselves and process, reflect, of course, all of that. But this idea of figuring things out is a cul-de-sac. It's a trap. I spent a lot of my life trying to figure things out. And I'm not even, I'm the youngest in my sibling position. I had no responsibilities. My brother was thrown into a van and forced to pull phone cable, work with my dad. And I got to go out and skate and play with the kids. So anyway, all right. Today's topic is the richest soil for growth is cultivated when you're single. When you're in a relationship, you're less motivated to examine the black box of what happened. You're in something new now. You've ran away from the crash. You've moved on. The door has closed. So the chances of you fully processing and taking ownership of your part in the expiration of learning and growing and becoming a better version of yourself are exponentially low. I'm not saying that you can't grow in a relationship. Of course you can. I'm just saying, like, your journey with self, the soil for that, the positioning for that to happen after a breakup is very rich. And also, I got to say, that soil calcifies. If you, jump into another relationship, if you do nothing but numb, if you just, dive into your addictions, of course, that is not growth soil. That's running away from self instead of toward, right? That is why the growth soil is so rich during the times between relationships. You have a limited amount of time to work on yourself and your life before you meet someone else. It doesn't mean you can't grow when you're in a relationship. This book is about that too. More on that later. But let's face it, when you're in a relationship, you're building something with someone else. You're a part of something else. So it's imperative to take advantage of the time that you're unattached. Instead of searching for someone to be with you, you must explore you. Your patterns, your definitions, how you love and why, your dreams, the dent you want to make in this world. You must explore your relationship with self. You must be with yourself first. As I'm reading that, I'm thinking about my giant stretch of singlehood. I think it was about 4 or 5 years where I all I had was my motorcycle. And I spent a lot of time by myself, with myself, just creating, just in thoughts, just asking myself a lot of questions and getting comfortable with being alone. And I knew that that was required. I knew that was part of the prescription, because when I found someone that I wanted to invest in, then I could bring a different version of me, a version of me that isn't so dependent, a version of me that isn't so approval seeking, right? I mean, we all seek validation, approval to a certain extent. I wanted to have legs first before I built something with legs. Does that make sense? Okay. My goal in writing this book is to start that process for you, to introduce you to you, for many of you, maybe for the first time. First, we must get rid of one of the greatest misconceptions about life: the idea that you can't be happy unless you're with someone else. I've coached thousands of singles over the years, and every single one of them believed when they came to me that they couldn't be happy unless they found a partner, unless they were married, unless they had someone to come home to. Their singlehood meant they were incomplete or defective, less than. They believed there was something wrong with them. The truth is, you don't have to be in a relationship to be happy. Sure, a relationship can bring you tons of joy, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be in a relationship. We're all human, and we're meant to do life with other people, right? But a relationship is not required for you to be happy. And I got to say, today more than ever, where monogamy is on trial, where relationships are being questioned and people are customizing, right? We're customizing everything: the way we work, the way we play, fitness, love, everything. And this customization leaves room for people to love no one, or love many, or love one, and also love in a way that works for them, you know? And because of that, it's a really exciting time. Also kind of confusing for many, of course. Okay, your happiness isn't contingent on loving someone. That's something that's been programmed into you by movies, advertising, social norms, social media, and old blueprints. The world has been waving this flag in your face since you were given your first Barbie doll, and then quickly added a Ken doll to complete the picture. But Barbie never needed Ken. All she needed was that convertible vet. It was the world telling her she needed a house and a man. And listen, this isn't about gender, right? We could flip it, just using Barbie as an example. And we never gave Ken a job or personality, or asked him if he even liked women. All right, it's finally time to empower singlehood and provide better blueprints for building happiness. It's time to shatter old definitions and smash that loud internal ticking clock. It's time to scrape away the shoulds, rip down the Norman Rockwell painting. When I wrote this, I thought Norman Rockwell would be something everyone would get, but I think it's more for my generation. I don't think Gen Z even knows what the fuck I'm talking about. The Norman Rockwell painting is like a classic. It's a series of paintings by Norman Rockwell. I think it was the 50s or 60s, but it kind of portrayed, like, you know, the wife baking the pie with the apron and the dad in the suit with the briefcase and the picket fence and all that, right? So kicking a hole in that and finally giving single the cape it deserves. All right. Let me skip a few pages here. Act one, the self, connecting back to you. I'm just going to give you some stats. I want to end with these stats. There are more single adults living, working, and yes, still breathing in the United States than ever before in history. In 2017, the U.S. Census reported 110 million unmarried people over the age of 18, which is 45% of the American adult population. And this is 2017. So now, I mean, 2024, I think it's grown. There's probably... I'll bet you 50% of the adult population in the U.S. are single, or actually are unmarried, right? So, they may not be single. They may be in an alternative relationship, or they may be partnered or self-partnered or whatever. But they're just not married. That's half. That's a lot. I mean, that's probably you listening to this. Okay. The next part, I will... Should I do it? I'll read a little bit of it. How to deal with loneliness. Obviously, if you're single, this is a big topic. I know for me, all the stretches of being single, loneliness was the color dye. You know, it was the pee in the pool, right? And it's a real thing when you're single, right? I don't want to minimize that. The feeling of being lonely is, yeah, it sucks. And behind that, when you feel lonely, there's judgment. You know, then there's like, am I even attractive? Do people want to be with me? And all these false beliefs. I get it. I've been there many times. And forget the empowering anthem. I don't need anyone else but myself right now. I know it sounds like it's like a bumper sticker. Although that is true, it requires a journey to get there. Saying the words without taking the journey doesn't bring you automatic empowerment, just an empty pledge to a fake flag. I'll tell you why you feel lonely, because what you get from an intimate partner or partners is something you can't get from anyone else, because those conversations after work and those waffles on Saturday morning help the world make sense. Because spooning puts you to sleep like a little baby, because tongues feel fucking good. Because looking into someone's eyes for longer than 3 seconds reminds you that we're not meant to do life alone. Because being emotionally naked makes you feel alive. Because you can't really tell your friends how your day went every single day, or you won't have many friends. Some people disagree with me. Because we're meant to give and share, lose ourselves and find ourselves through others and love hard. Because ordering in is so much better when you have someone. Why did I write you have someone? Because it kind of implies the whole ownership. You know what? Let me scratch that out. You know, the thing about writing a book is it's dry cement, and I hate reading my shit because I want to edit it and I can't. Because you get to share your life with someone. That's what I meant. Not that you have someone. You feel lonely because you want things and you haven't found someone to experience them with. And that's okay. There's no reason to skirt that and force yourself to go on some kind of eat, pray, love journey to auto-correct your emotional self, unless you feel like that is what you need. But for many, and by many, I mean most, we're just lonely because we haven't found someone to love, and that's it. We don't have to analyze that. We don't have to look at why and why is that so deep? Like, we don't have to dig and try to come up with answers to justify your loneliness, is what I'm saying, right? So stop judging and labeling it. If you haven't slept, you're going to feel tired. And if you haven't loved someone in a while, you're going to crave that experience and feel lonely. But there's a difference between the feeling of loneliness and, quote unquote, I am lonely. One is an experience, a feeling that comes and goes. The other is an identity tightly tied to your sense of worth. I read that again on accident, and then I tried to pretend like that was on purpose. Like I was going to use that reading it again as some kind of punctuation. I admit. Instead of just being aware of the feeling, am I the worst book reader on the planet? I'm pretty down there, I would say, as far as reading a book. And yet they keep allowing me to do the audio of all my books, which is which I'm so grateful for. I can't imagine someone else reading my work. Fuck that. I don't care if it's Morgan Freeman, I don't care how sexy, I don't care if it's Brad Pitt. I get to read my words. Anyway. I just have to learn how. Instead of just being aware of the feeling, you have attached added meaning to it. You are lonely because you feel lonely. You believe there's something wrong with you. Or you may believe that you're too old or too fat or whatever. Can we use the word fat anymore? I don't know. But it's not your fault. That knot has been tied tightly by society. Whether you know it or not, you have been programmed. Think about it. How many shows or movies have you seen where the protagonist doesn't find love and is still happy? How many don't get the girl or never find their man? Loneliness is the struggle that needs to be overcome. Once you conquer it, only then will you feel happy. You can understand the roots of this feeling, but understanding it doesn't take away how real and constant it can be. It's not temporary like being hungry or horny. It's an ongoing state that can make you lose hope and wonder. For me, horniness is not temporary. It's a constant. Will I ever find love again? I'm not going to try to prove you wrong with logic. You feel what you feel, and that shit is real. I know. I felt it. When we feel loneliness for long enough, we start to believe no one wants to be with us. We start to believe we will always be alone. I know I did. The loneliness grows into hopelessness, so it's like a 1-2 punch. But you are not lonely the way that you have brown eyes or small feet. It's time to reevaluate the situation. You need to redefine your old concepts and stop assuming that being alone is the same as being lonely. First, stop ruminating while you're having that lonesome feeling. Stop feeding it. Stop asking yourself if you will ever find that kind of person you've always dreamed of. Maybe you won't. But if that shakes your world, the last thing you need to be in right now is a relationship, because that depression will only poison whatever relationship you do find yourself in. So let's address your fear right now head on. Take a deep breath and ask yourself the following question. And I want to end here. What if you never find a partner? Thank you for listening. Be well.